Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of Mount Zion at the 12th Hour in Libertyville, Texas. Today is September 29, 2016, or the Tishri 29, 2020. I'm going to start the first service today with a song that I've written entitled King of the Universe. Someday I shall go to that city. I'm a soldier and herald, earth is old. And behold the King in his glory, and praise his name forevermore. Praise his name, King of the universe, ruler of all, highest in the heavens, upon whom we call. For daily mercies, forgiveness of sin, our lone benefactor, emancipator, and friend. He came to this earth as a redeemer of men. He walked by the wayside, a wayfarer's friend. Gave hope and salvation, he showed them the way. Promised to return on that great final day. There's his name, King of the universe, ruler of all, highest in the heavens, upon whom we call. For daily mercy, forgiveness of sin, our lone benefactor, emancipator, and friend. Oh, a beautiful city where there is no night. The streets are pure as gold, the Lamb is the light. The walls are like jasper, a glorious sight. His saints are his trophies, are dressed in pure white. Praise his name, King of the universe, ruler of all, highest in the heavens. Upon him we go, for daily mercies, forgiveness of sin. Our lone benefactor, emancipator, and friend. So come, little children, lend me your ears. The hope for the future is fast drawing near. The pathway to glory our children have found. And they won't be contented till heaven comes down. Praise his name, King of the universe, ruler of all, highest in the heavens, upon him we call. For daily mercy, forgiveness of sin, our lone benefactor, emancipator, and friend. Our lone benefactor, emancipator. Righteousness exalted the nation. We're going to start with Proverbs 14:34. That's going to be our memory verse today. And we're going to read the whole chapter. But first we're going to recite the memory verse. Righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. It says, unto any people. Okay, now that we're going to back up and read, starting with the first verse of Proverbs chapter 14. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth Yahweh, but he that is perverse in his ways despises him. And the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. But the lips of the wise shall preserve him, them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies.
A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in the heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well unto his going. The wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is halted. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be unto them that devise good. In all labor there is profit, but that the talk of the lip tendeth only to penury. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. In the fear of the Yahweh is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Fear of the Yahweh is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of the devil. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that hath that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. He that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. Okay, what have we learned? Well, we learned a few things, and about that wisdom rests in the heart of him that hath understanding. Now, we have a key word in the scriptures. Let's go look at a few words with the word understanding in it. Now, in Exodus 31:3, it says, "And I have filled him with the spirit of Yahweh, in wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship." Okay, Exodus 35:31, "And he hath filled him with the spirit of Yahweh, in wisdom, in understanding, and in the knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship." Then will Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Yahweh put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Yahweh had commanded. Now there's a key verse right here. I just read it to you. in Exodus 36:1, it says, "Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab of every wise-hearted man, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Yahweh put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Yahweh had commanded." "Take ye wise men and understanding, and know among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you." Okay, it says, "Take ye wise men and understanding, and know among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you." Deuteronomy 4:6. "Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." Now that's probably Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we're going to read the whole chapter now. Let's just take it up and see what we learn here. Start with verse 1. "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which Yahweh Elohim your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim which I commanded you. Your eyes have seen what the Yahweh did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Yahweh the Elohim hath destroyed from them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Yahweh your Elohim are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgment, even as the Yahweh my Elohim commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations." Okay, "which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath Yahweh so nigh unto them as Yahweh Elohim is in all things that we call upon him for?" Now, the United States used to be a great, the greatest nation on the earth. Even with all of us leaders from Babylon, we've had Babylonian leaders for quite a while now, and they're bringing this nation down. The evilness is bringing this nation down. We always raised up a deliverer, Donald Trump, and we are anxiously waiting for the future to unfold, because we know that it's going to be for a tearing down and a complete rebuilding. And that's what's going on right now. While they're tearing down on one side, Yahweh's bringing it up on the other side. Okay, Deuteronomy 4:8. "And what nation is it so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed unto thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the thing which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Yahweh thy Elohim in Horeb. And the Yahweh said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire, and unto the midst of heaven with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And Yahweh spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. Yahweh commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whether you go over to possess it. Take you therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude in the day, on the day that the Yahweh spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of a male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And what they do down in Egypt, when the children of Israel were in captivity under Pharaoh and his henchmen, they worshipped all of these things. They worshipped the fly, and they worshipped the fish of the sea, and they worshipped the cattle. They worshipped every flying insect, practically. All right. All right, it says, Deuteronomy 4:19, unless thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of the heavens, shouldst be driven to worship them and serve them, which Yahweh the Elohim hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Yahweh hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance as you are this day. Furthermore, the Yahweh was angry with me for your sake, and swear that I should not go over Jordan, and I should not go in unto that good land which Yahweh the Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan, but you shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Yahweh your Elohim, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Yahweh thy Elohim hath forbidden thee. For the Yahweh the Elohim is a consuming fire, even a jealous Elohim. And thou shalt beget children and children's children, and you shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of Yahweh the Elohim to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Yahweh shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Yahweh shall lead you. And there you shall serve gods the work of men's hands, the wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Yahweh the Elohim, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn unto the Yahweh thy Elohim, and shalt be obedient unto his voice. For the Yahweh the Elohim is a merciful Yahweh. He will not forsake thee nor destroy thee, and forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before these, since the day that Elohim created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did every people hear the voice of Yahweh speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Or hath Elohim said to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptation, by signs and by wonders and by war and by a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm and by great terrors, according to all that the Yahweh your Elohim did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Yahweh he is the Elohim. There is none else beside him. So it says right there, even his son, Yahshua, his son, is first begotten from the dead here on earth, and the first begotten in heaven of the living. He said, even his son is not appointed as a deity beside the Father. His son is not appointed to be the head of all creation universe. Even though Yahshua, the Son, is co-creator with the Father of this earth, and he is a co-creator of all the other worlds. No doubt. This earth is the first, heaven is the first place created, and then this earth is the second place created, and then all the rest of the worlds were created after that. Well, I say that we might read the scriptures on that, and we might see a little different a slant on that. It may very well be that he created the heavens. No, he said in the scriptures he created the heaven and the earth. Then on the fourth day he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And that means he created all the other heavenly bodies on the fourth day of creation. So this earth was the first creation. As Venus says, in the beginning of all creation, in other words. Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. Or he said the heaven. He didn't say that. I don't think he said the heavens. I think he said the heaven and the earth. Let's go check it out. Okay. In the beginning, Yahweh created the heaven and the earth. Okay. He created the heaven first. Then he created the earth second. And then on verse 14 of Genesis 1, he created the and Yahweh said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. Okay. Now we sent in Genesis 1:14 it says, and Yahweh said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. The heaven means one heaven, one singular. Of the as a prepositional phrase, the is a personal specific article, meaning whatever it is used in front of a noun, whatever noun that is, that's what it's talking about. The heaven. To divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So Yahweh knew, and he set this earth up originally in a perfect imperfection, and he set it up with the four seasons. He set up with the four seasons, but no doubt they would be regulated by the sun. They would be regulated by the sun, the moon, and the stars. It would be regulated, the four seasons would be, where you'd have tropical climate year-round. But Yahweh had his perfection in all things, and no doubt he had his perfection in the creation of this earth in its beginning. And human beings would have been in a perfect, would have been in perfect compliance today with it if they had a if Adam hadn't fell into sin. Okay, let's go back to our reading in Deuteronomy 4, verse 36. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. So out of heaven, he said, he made thee to hear his voice. That's that heaven where the sun, the moon, and the stars are at. But that heaven is the first atmosphere. The heaven starts with our first atmospheric part of our planet right above us. Starts with, that's the heaven where the birds fly. And because he loved our fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight, and with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Elohim, he is the Elohim in heaven, above and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Yahweh the Elohim giveth thee, forever. Then Moses shaved 3 cities on this side Jordan toward the sun rising, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares, and hated him not in times past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities he might live, namely Bezer in the wilderness in the plain country of the Reubenites, and Ramoth in Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in the Bashan of the Manassites, so that's your Golan Heights that they're fighting over today in the north of Israel. That's the northern boundary of Israel right now. And Syria is on the north, on the other side of them Golan Heights. And the news is saying there is a third world war going on in Syria right now between the forces of Gog and Magog. They're trying to overtake Syria, and got the United States and her allies on the other side trying to take over Syria and oust Assad. One side is wanting to keep Assad, that's the Russians and the Gog and Magog, and the United States is wanting to get him out of there. So there's a third world war going on right there. They're liking that battle as to the Third World War. Deuteronomy 4:44, and this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments Moses spake unto the children of Israel after they came out forth out of Egypt, on this side of Jordan, in the valley over against Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel smote after they were come forth out of Egypt. And they possessed his land, the land of Og, king of Bashan, 2 kings of the Amorites, which were on this side Jordan, toward the sun rising, from Arior, which is by the bank of the river Arnon, even unto Mount Sinai, which is Hermon, and all the plain on this side of Jordan eastward, even unto the sea of the plain under the springs of Pisgah. Let's go now into 1 Kings 3:1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David, until he had made an end of building his own house, and the house of Yahweh, and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of Yahweh until those days. And Solomon loved the Yahweh, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was a great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. And Gibeon, the Yahweh appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night, and Yahweh asked, "What shall I give thee?" And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, thy my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Yahweh my Elohim, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of that people which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Yahweh that Solomon had asked this thing. Yahweh said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, Behold, I have done according unto thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee as shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Then Solomon woke, behold, it was a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh, and offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast unto all his servants. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And the woman said, O my Yahweh, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together there. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. When I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, and but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. The king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose a living child was unto her, the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son, and she said, O my master, give her the living child. And in no wise slept, but the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divided. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slept. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of Yahweh was in him to do judgment. Now let us go now into the key word righteous. It occurs 238 times in the scripture. And we're in Genesis chapter 7 verse 1. To start the first one. And Yahweh said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Genesis 18:23. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now what are we talking about? Righteous. Let's go back to Noah here. It says, and Yahweh said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous. You mean to tell me that it's coming down here at the end time, and he's going to invite an antitypical house of Noah to come into the ark again? And say also, unto thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation? Well, I don't think there's going to be an exact repeat of Noah and the eight, the other seven that was with him, eight and all. I think there's going to be a antitypical family of Noah, all right. And I believe he's going to have a righteous man at the head of it. But I believe also that there's going to be a family that's going to be multiplied. And from all the families of the earth. And that's what the 144,000 actually represents. They don't just represent one race of people, believe it or not. Because Jacob, when he took four women to be his surrogates to raise up 12 sons, two of those were his wives, and two of those were the bondmaid of the wives. And those bondmaid, they represent those two bond women represents the Gentile nation, and that was. But the thing is, they had two sons apiece. Those bond women had four sons together, that represented the part of the 12 sons of Jacob, which represented the 12 patriarchs. So you have a situation here where those 12 patriarchs represent the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. This is quite interesting. The 144,000, which show up in Revelation, they're prophets, priests, and kings, ruling over their respective nations and people, and their houses of Israel. I'm thinking and believing that this 144,000 is going to be this righteous family that's going to come in to the Ark of Safety again, and then there's going to be an invitation for the righteous of the world to come into the Ark of Safety. And this time they'll come in. The righteous will come in. Back in Noah's day, there wasn't any righteous left among the multitude outside the ark. Once Noah and his family got in the ark, Noah came to the door and invited anybody else that wanted to come in, but they didn't respond. So there wasn't any righteous at all. That's the reason why Yahweh said, "For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." So, we're going ahead and read now, Genesis 18:24. Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city, but thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein. It says in verse 25 of Genesis 18, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And they always said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then will I spare all the place for their sakes. Genesis 18:28. Peradventure there shall lack five of the 50 righteous, wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of the five? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. Now let's look at the rest of Genesis chapter 18. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Yahweh be angry, and I will speak peradventure there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken it upon me to speak unto the Yahweh. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Yahweh be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure then shall, peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And it says in Genesis 18:33, and the Yahweh went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. That's very interesting. And the righteous is what saves a place from destruction, to be any righteous there at all. Now we go to Genesis 20, verse 4, and but Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Yahweh, wilt thou slay the... Or he said to Abraham, Master, wilt thou slay also a right... No. Let's read that again. Yahweh, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Now, that's quite a question. Abimelech, actually, was living in a righteous nation. Let's read verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said unto Sarah's wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But Yahweh came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Master Yahweh, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Wow. So Abimelech, he's really scared. He's really upset. Because he's living in the land of Israel, and he knew the land of Israel was set aside to be a righteous nation. Well, Texas is set aside to be a righteous nation. So what is Texas to be then? It is to be a branch of Israel. It is an Israelite nation. Texas is where we live today. That's the reason he's raising it up. Okay. So, in Genesis 20, verse 5, said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she herself said he is my brother, and the integrity of my heart, and the innocency of my hands have I done this. And Yahweh said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin, and thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done? And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou, that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of Yahweh is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass when Abraham caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness, which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleases thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes, and to all that are with thee, and with all others, thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto Yahweh, and Yahweh healed Abimelech, and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. So Yahweh had fast closed up all the rooms of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. The word wisdom occurs 234 times in 222 verses in the KJV. It starts with Exodus 28:3. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, and whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Exodus 31:3. And I have filled him with the spirit of Yahweh in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. Now that's very interesting. Who was this that he filled? Starting in verse 1, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, this is in Exodus 31, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the spirit of Yahweh in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. So Yahweh calls a man and he designates that man to fill a certain place, position in life, a certain place. And he gives him wisdom, understanding, and knowledge to do his work. Now that's what he has done for me. He has given me wisdom, understanding, and knowledge to understand his will, to be a cunning workman in all things. And it says so right here, and he said right here, he put in this man, Bezalel, in Exodus 31:4, to devise cunning works to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones to sit them and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. So he gave this man the talent. Man, he had the talent in gold and silver and brass and cutting of stones and carving of timber and to work in all manner of workmanship. He was a master craftsman. And I behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ashimoth of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee. The tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is there upon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle. And the table of his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot, and the cloths of service, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons, to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing all, and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, and we are in the last generation of Israel today, that you may know that I am the Yahweh that does sanctify you. We know what in the land of Israel today, in Palestine, they don't do this. They keep the Sabbath, they make an attempt to set the Sabbath aside, but that's all they do. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. That's your seventh-day Sabbath. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death, for whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy unto Yahweh. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimonies, tables of stone, written with the finger of Yahweh. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 35. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which Yahweh hath commanded that you should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be unto you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest unto Yahweh. Whosoever doth work therein shall be put to death. He shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yahweh commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto Yahweh, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of Yahweh, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red, and badger skins and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And every wise heart among you shall come and make all that the Yahweh hath commanded. His tabernacle, his tent, and his covering, his taches, and his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his socket. The ark, and the stave thereof with the mercy seat, and the veil of the covering. The table and his staves, and all his vessels, and the showbread. The candlestick also for the light, and his furniture, and his lamps, with the oil for the light. And the incense altar, and his staves, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the door at the entering end of the tabernacle. The altar burnt offering, with his brazen grate, his staves, and all his vessels, the laver, and his foot, the hanging of the court, his pillars and their sockets, and the hanging of the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle and the pins of the court and their cords. The cords of service to do service in the holy place, the holy garment, garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his son, the minister of priest's office. All the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord Yahweh's offerings unto the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garment. And there came both men and women, as many as were willing hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered offerings of gold unto Yahweh. And every man with wisdom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought to Yahweh's offerings, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. Now all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Yahweh, every man and woman, whose heart made them willing to bring it for all manner of work which Yahweh had commanded, to be made by the hand of Moses. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Yahweh hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of Yahweh, and wisdom, and understanding, and knowledge, and all manner of workmanship. And he devised curious works to work in gold, and silver, and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to sit them in the, and in carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver, and of the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer, in blue, and in purple, and scarlet, and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and those that devise cunning work. Okay, that's in the extra chapter 35. So Yahweh gives people special talents to do special work. Some he gives half a dozen talents or more, others he gives just one. And nevertheless, he expects you to excel in every talent he gives you and be fruitful with it. Okay, so now that ends that on wisdom. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 4, it says, verse 29, and Yahweh gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan and Ezrahite and Heman and Chalcol and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees and the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes, and there came of all the people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. But did you know that he's going to do the same thing today with us? He's going to bring all the kings of the earth to hear this wisdom of this prophet here at the head of his kingdom today. This brings the third verse. Said this hour, contact us at the 11th hour. Call us, number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Christian soldiers don't retire. Another song that I've written. Living for the passion and the way of the life that I do tell. The devil is tired, but I'm ready to be a soldier and live the battle of war. Join us, I'm in Jesus, on the best of fire. And as far as I can do, the Christian soldiers don't retire. Christian soldiers don't retire, for the baptized in the fire. They are burnt up from the burning wick. With any possible power, they are commissioned by the gospel fire.
Waiting in the nation.
the